Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, the boys are back in town. I mean, we never really left, but either way, you get it. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. Bob Fesco will be doing sign language, so good thing you have us on Cody and Gold on the Fan. Just kidding. It says Dusty and Fesco. Mac rolls his eyes. Stop, man. It's only 6 o'clock. Don't get sassy. You got 3 hours tonight on After Hours. You're pulling in the... Yeah, he's pulling in the late shift. So Mac will have no voice tomorrow, and then everyone will really be pissed because I'll be the only one talking for 4 hours Wednesday through Friday.
Nah, We'll get through this.
This is Bob's week of being the throat goat.
I guess, but mine isn't because I'm sick. It's because I acted like a fool at the game the other day.
As you should have.
Yeah, exactly.
There are a few moments where it's okay to act like a fool.
It's 913, okay, right?
Yeah, 913-586-7965. What are the okay moments to act like a fool? I would say wedding, sporting event that ends in
a
result.
Whose wedding?
I mean, anybody's.
Yeah.
Do you not like weddings?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. I love weddings. Like, I'll cut some rug.
What if the wedding does not have an open bar?
I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
Or what normally would happen. I've been to one of those. Been to one. And my buddy and I just went to the gas station, bought like a big case of beer, put it in a cooler, and just like walked out and drank. We're like, well, you didn't do it. You know, turn a blind eye, whatever. But for the most part, every wedding I've been to, I mean, Rob's had an open bar, and the girl that was bartending poured me a glass of wine that was like,
You could swim in that glass of wine.
Yeah, yeah. It was bigger than Pinkles.
Yeah, it was, no doubt. I mean, it was a jumbo. There's no question about it. But, you know, I went to one wedding where they didn't have an open bar, and it was miserable. And they didn't have any booze at all. So it wasn't like, you know, you couldn't have a drink. It was there was nothing. So we did basically the same thing.
And yeah.
This was down to Wichita, in Wichita, I should say. So it made matters even worse because I was in Wichita at this wedding. Uh-huh. But either way, did you see this woman who was complaining about the guests not giving her enough money at her wedding? And now she had to cancel her honeymoon over the weekend.
A guest didn't give her enough money?
The guests combined did not give her enough money. Oh. She only got $3,000 for cash and wedding gifts, and somebody gave her $10, and so she had to cancel her honeymoon. If you're relying on your wedding party, the people that are there to pay for your honeymoon and to give you cash, that's the wrong way to go about it. That makes you a Karen, I would like to say. Oh. And so this woman was complaining on social media that her friends and family and guests did not give her enough money to help her pay for her honeymoon. And so now she's canceling her honeymoon, and we're all supposed to feel bad for. Suck it up, Buttercup.
I mean,
so I'm so over that kind of stuff, man. Oh, nobody gave me enough money for my wedding. Do better in life.
Yeah, like Mac's wedding, I'd probably get rowdy at.
You think he's gonna have one and we're gonna get invited?
I mean, if we don't, that'd be kind of messed up.
You gonna do that thing down in Tennessee?
You'll get invited. It will be in Tennessee.
It will be in Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah.
Perfect. No, that's great.
No, Nashville.
I can finally go to Nashville.
I was going
to
say, it's an excuse. Yeah.
When are you getting married?
This is going to be.
That's $1 million.
You guys are not going to. You guys are going to hate this.
You're going to get married during the football season,
it's
aren't
gonna
you?
It's going
to
be during the fall.
Yeah. Well, I've already got two weddings on September 7th next year. So I hate to break it to you. Don't do it that day.
Okay. Don't do it then. All right.
Don't do it that day.
We'll schedule around.
I mean, it's. Yeah. I mean, I'm that guy. I'll fly to Nashville.
Of course. I wouldn't drive to Nashville.
Well, Mac will drive. Mac drives every other week.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
What is it, 6 hours?
No, it's 8.5.
Drive. No, that's flying. Just fly in, fly out.
What I'll do is I'll download Red Zone on my phone, and I'll fly out perfectly where it matches, like
easy
when I
money.
Leave.
Yes.
You can get like a 6 a.m. flight, I'm sure, Sunday morning out of Nashville. Plenty of time.
I don't want that. I don't want to have to get up at like 4 after being up all night.
Oh, yes, you do, because then you're relying on the airline industry to keep things straight throughout the rest of the day. And the odds of that happening are very slim, right?
They said no more canceled flights, more delayed flights.
No more delayed flights. That's right, because they got to get your money back
so
now.
You're getting out on time.
Yes.
You ain't lagging at the airport, dude.
That's a very good point now that rule is in place, right? Yeah.
No more delays. Weird. Because you get your money back.
All of a sudden, everybody's getting where they need to go on time these days in the airline industry, because the government said you're screwed if you don't. You got to refund the whole plane.
Spirit Airlines really picked up their game.
Did you see that story about Spirit Airlines yesterday? Landing in Haiti yesterday and getting shot by bullets, and they had to take back off and get out. All flights to Haiti have now been canceled by JetBlue and Spirit. Like, weird stuff, man.
Dang.
Unbelievable stuff. So have fun traveling this holiday season.
The video game Uncharted.
God.
From Uncharted seriously. To Sharded, man.
I mean, like, my God.
What would I do? What everybody told me to do my whole life, when you knew you were in a moment of doubt, put your head between your legs and kiss your ass goodbye.
Yeah, that's exactly what you got to do in that situation.
Like, on the plane, I'm like, dude.
I mean, like, you can't duck and cover. I mean.
Dear Lord, I'm sorry about everything I've done. You know, like, it's over, dude.
I mean, crazy stuff going on. Yeah. So, yeah, flying's fun. Everybody loves it. Yeah.
I hear you talk sports, so let's do that.
All right,
6:05 here on 96.5 The Fan. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for having us our opening morning monologue. I think we should do that more often. But anyways, yesterday, if you missed it on social media or wherever you get your information, the Royals had some honorees and finalists in baseball. And you ask yourself, how in the world are these clowns talking about baseball when there's a Chiefs-Bills game? I'll tell you why, because this is going to lead up to another segment where Bob, if his voice will hold up, takes the floor. But the Royals did something yesterday that was very impressive. Actually, the AL Central did something.
Impressive yesterday, yes.
Fan of the show, fan of the cheese blanket, manager Matt Cotrero is a finalist for Manager of the Year.
Awesome.
Also with Stephen Voigt and AJ Hinch.
Yeah.
Tigers, Guardians.
American League Central's got this thing on lockdown, baby.
I've got a little bit of an issue with Stephen Voigt being the favorite because I used it as a chef's comparison, right? Stephen Voigt, first-year manager, Cleveland, goes to the playoffs, wins the division, pretty much had the division from start to finish, almost like a wire to wire.
They almost lost it that one day we had it tied with them, right? Yeah.
And to me, Stephen Voigt got a kitchen with all the nice, you know, utensils, all the nice food, like a Bobby Flay type of Food Network kitchen, right? And then Matt Cotrero loses or wins 56 games and wins 30 more the next year. And his kitchen is, it's a, you know,
but they did go spend money on good appliances. They got the stainless steel in there for him, you know.
But he wasn't, you know, expected to make something great with what he had. Voigt got like a nice, hey, here you go. Cotrero goes from 56 to 86 in 1 year. You look at the MVP race, Bobby Witt Jr.
Yep.
Against the Yankees. Juan Soto, Aaron Judge. Some tend to believe that Aaron Judge will win this award unanimously. Well, like he's going to get every vote, and if he doesn't, Bobby might get a few because Soto ain't getting any. It's nice that he's up there. He had a good year, but it'll be either all Aaron Judge, 50 votes, or however many it is, and zero anybody else, or they'll be like 48-2.
I would hope the person who's voting out of Kansas City goes and votes for Bobby Witt Jr.
Right.
I think that's the right thing to do in this type of situation. And look, Aaron Judge, you know, had a great regular season. He sucks in the postseason. I know that doesn't count. Juan Soto is more of a valuable player than Aaron Judge is to a team. I hate to be that guy, but like Aaron Judge is going to run away with this thing and probably shouldn't run away with this thing. But, you know, it's just cool to be nominated, I guess, and be at the cool kids table if you're Bobby Witt Jr., right?
Yeah. Your name's on the map.
Yeah.
And then the last one before we get into some more information about the Royals moving forward. Cy Young finals. Not going to win. Tarik Skubal and Class A, who was the closer at a 0.61 ERA, and then the playoffs happened.
Tough,
but closer for Cleveland, starter for Detroit, starter for the Royals. The AL Central, dominant this year in awards, dominant this year in playoff appearances. Three teams get in, and there's three reasons why those teams are in, because of the players they built around and their managers that they built their teams around. That's what successful teams do. That's why the Royals were successful. And like we said, in this offseason this year, they don't need to have, you know, reconstructive facial surgery. They just need a touch up here or there, a little Botox in the cheek, take a little wrinkle out of the forehead and move forward. And when they do move forward, they'll have a place to play. Bob, the floor is yours as you let people know what the updates are in Royal Stadium and maybe Chiefs Stadium updates as well.
Well, yeah, there's a lot going on right now. And I think from what the conversations I was having with a lot of people yesterday, this thing is going to move fast and it's going to move quickly. And we're going to know maybe by the winter meetings where the Royals are breaking ground on their new stadium. And I talked to multiple sources on this now. So I have confirmed from two different folks about what's going on right now in Kansas City, if you will, and I use the air quotes Kansas City on this one, because from what I've been told, the Royals are in real and advanced discussions with the state of Kansas to potentially build their new stadium in Johnson County.
Now, where would that location be?
Well, there are a couple locations that I'm hearing right now. There's a location right inside the 435 loop around Antioch, is what I've been told, is one location. And then the location that I think a lot of people are very fond of is 119th and Knoll on the old Sprint campus. And there, they already have five parking garages that exist, right? There are five parking garages from the old Sprint campus that basically stand there and do nothing. And I know, because I go to the J and I look out all the time and I see these parking garages, parking garage A, B, C, D, and E. And, you know, the mind works in weird ways. And you see these parking garages out there and nobody utilizes these parking garages and nobody utilizes that land at 119th and Knoll. And I think what the Royals are looking at is that the majority of their season ticket holders are in Johnson County, Kansas. I think it's 55% of their season ticket holders are located in Johnson County. And so they want to go to where their fans are. And that makes the most sense. You have existing bars and restaurants right there across the street, you know, where everybody knows where 119th and Knoll is. And it gives you the land and the opportunity for John Sherman to build sort of a ballpark village out there as well to make it a 365-day-a-year venue, which is what they want to do. I also heard from somebody yesterday that people in the Northland are more in favor of the Johnson County location than they are of the downtown location because they feel like they can drive, they can park, they can take care of business out there and not have to worry about the downtown stuff. I'm not saying the downtown situation is dead, but this thing is moving very fast to move this thing, the Royals, out to Kansas. Bob, what does that mean for the Chiefs? I know a lot of people want to know what that means for the Chiefs as well. I was told yesterday that the state of Kansas could potentially get two, possibly three of the facilities that are going to be built. And by the third facility, I mean the practice facility for the Kansas City Chiefs. There are some in the thinking that believe if the practice facility ends up in Wyandotte County, they will build a little Chiefs village out there. Then they will do their new stadium in the state of Missouri. The problem with the state of Missouri right now is Springfield wants money for a minor league ballpark. The University of Missouri wants a bunch of money for their stadium. The Cardinal Stadium is now 20 years old, and they've got an arena with a hockey team that is going to need upgrading as well. You start to wonder where you're going to get all this money from. It's a lot of money to build facilities in any state, let alone, you know, a state of Missouri that really doesn't have a lot of income coming in, a lot of tourism coming in, and dollars being generated. So from what I heard yesterday, it looks like, you know, discussions are deep right now with Johnson County. 119th and Knoll looks like a nice plot of land. Go drive by it. There's not a lot going on out there. And when you have five existing parking garages already, the question of where are we going to park gets absolutely taken out of the equation because there are already five existing parking garages that aren't being utilized. And I think it's called the Spira, whatever that campus is now, where Sprint used to be. They're peeling off, man. They're looking to sell. And so that is an opportunity, I think, for the Royals to really cash in and put their stadium in a location that is going to be near the people. Kansas still could get Arrowhead and the practice facility, I'm told. Kind of shaky on that. It may be a little bit too much for all of that, but the wheels are moving really, really fast on this thing, and it looks like the Royals could be in Kansas before the winter meetings take place, if you will, and they announce it before the winter meetings take place. So that's what I'm told. They're in deep discussions with the state of Kansas about a possible location in Johnson County. I was told there are about three locations in Johnson County. I don't know where the third one is, but the two that I've heard are like 119th and Knoll, which you've been loving to live on Knoll for as long as I've known you. So like 10 years now, you've been talking about moving to Knoll. Now may be the right time.
No doubt.
Walk across
before
the street.
Before that property value goes
that's
up.
That's right. You can walk across the street to the stadium.
Heck yeah.
And do that. And
cheap Uber ride.
Or just walk. I was thinking about taking a bird scooter.
Now you can get in trouble on those. Well, you can't get pot for those.
That's what somebody told me. I said, I'm not talking about drinking. I'm just making it easy to get to the stadium. Just ride a bird scooter down 119th Street.
Oh yeah.
I'll see you later. I'll walk. I don't care. But or maybe inside 435 around the 95th Antioch, kind of that corridor in there, I guess has been talked about as a potential location. So those are talks that are going on right now. I know there are people who don't want to hear the reality of it, but I tweeted about it last night. Mm-hmm. 52,000 people interacted with that tweet last night about where the stadiums are going to be. So it is a topic in Kansas City. And I'm just the messenger, man. And if you don't want to go because they're in Kansas, then don't. Nobody cares.
Blow it out your ass, Bob. That was my favorite drop back in the day.
We have that still. It should still be in there.
Isn't that Nathan Lane?
It is from the OJ trial. Yes.
That's right. There we go. We'll dive back into that a few times today, recycle that so you can hear it if you missed it. Obviously, not everybody's in their car at the same time. But coming up on the other side, Chiefs-Bills, they play a big one on Sunday, maybe the biggest they've ever played. Plus, this is two different teams from two different perspectives in the media that you haven't heard before. I'll explain when we come back here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Right back here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey, a.k.a. Mini Pink. After hours tonight with Mac Morey, Drew Nixon. One's a Chiefs fan, one's a Bengals fan. What could go wrong? I don't know. One roots for Tennessee. The other one roots for every college team imaginable. Check out Drew's podcast as well.
Literally.
247. Yeah. I don't know who he roots for in college. I know who the hell he roots for in the NFL. Unfortunately, don't forget, Chiefs, we're thankful for your chance to do what, Bob? Fesco?
Win $500 to Hy-Vee for Thanksgiving. How about that?
Hell
right.
Yeah.
We're gonna play a highlight at 6:40 every day this week. We did one yesterday, had our first qualifier yesterday. We're going to take a qualifier every day at 6:40. When you hear the highlight, if you know the Chiefs player that has been bleeped out, be caller number, what did we say, number 6, yep. And you'll be qualified to win a $500 Hy-Vee gift card. We'll take 5 qualifiers. We'll announce our winner at the end of the week. So be ready to dial in about 18 minutes.
It's no secret who the Chiefs play on Sunday.
Bills.
325. Perfect. That's right. Perfect. Perfect.
It's the only game on CBS at 325 on Sunday. How about that?
Red zone till 3.
Yep.
Flip it over to CBS and enjoy.
Best of luck, Fox, competing with the Chiefs and Bills on CBS. You guys should just kind of just go put the color bars
you
up for that
ready for
game.
Another ratings boost?
Oh, my gosh. God, it's going to be huge, right?
I thought this was interesting. I'm going to play a couple of things of audio because I think this is... maybe the most important matchup for Bills, Chiefs in the regular season. Last year, sure, right? Like you were trying to get the one seed, but it was very bleak. You had to have a lot of things happen. This year, you can just
like not line up offsides.
Yeah, which is and rob the Chiefs of probably one of the greatest plays in franchise history.
Oh, my God, yes.
Might be the greatest play in franchise history.
But it didn't count.
Right. So this is Chris Canty talking about the Buffalo Bills and what he thinks of this team this year.
So Sam Pierce, our television producer, has put up on ESPNU for the graphic, for those listening on the radio, the percentage chance for the Chiefs to win the rest of the season week by week. The worst chance they have to win a game is actually this upcoming week
no
at
kidding.
The Bills.
And I don't think the Buffalo Bills are that good.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I said it. I don't think the Buffalo Bills are that good.
Okay, go on.
I get that they've gotten out to the best start that they've had in 30 years in that franchise. But the Buffalo Bills have exactly one win against a team with a winning record, and that came in week one against the Arizona Cardinals.
Ooh, wow, how about that?
I don't trust this Buffalo Bills team. They've been living and dying off of takeaways, and at some point that's going to run out, especially when you play against good teams. Right now, they have the best turnover differential in the NFL. They have the most points scored off of turnovers in the NFL in terms of points margin off of turnovers. So at some point, that runs out when you face good teams. Mm-hmm. And that point could happen this week against the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll see how it goes. But I don't think the Buffalo Bills are as good as their record suggests that they are.
That's an interesting comment from a former defensive lineman to say something like that, because I would have taken the other approach, honestly, on that with the defensive side of things. They always say turnovers are contagious, right?
Yeah,
like you teach turnovers, you coach turnovers, you go after turnovers, and you get turnovers, and that becomes part of who you are as an organization. But you know what? The last 2 weeks, Patrick Mahomes has not turned the football over, has not thrown an interception, right?
If he's they turn
the
ball,
he's cleaned it up a lot. And so if you go in and play a clean game against Buffalo, yeah, there's no reason you can't go out there and win. But again, this is the week-to-week nature of the NFL, where he actually looked at the big picture and goes, they've beaten one good team so far this year, right? We always want to talk about opponents and who they play and who they beat. And if you're beating up on New England and the Jets and Miami in that division, are you really as good as your record indicates, or are you feasting on the sisters of the poor? Now, you don't apologize for your schedule, but when you do face somebody that is good, are you going to be up to the level to play somebody that's good, or has everything been masked because you've been playing East Toenail State for the last 7 weeks?
Also, it's week 11 in the NFL, and Buffalo's been hit with that old injury bug.
Oh, God, yes.
Dalton Kincaid, I believe, is injured. He had a knee injury he suffered in the game last week and did not return.
Right.
Hollis is also injured. He took the elevator. That's a joke. I'm kidding. But no, their young phenom wide receiver is banged up.
Yep.
Their running game Cook is decent. Josh Allen has been Superman.
He's great in the running game.
Yeah.
You know?
Josh Allen is a guy that I fear every time the Chiefs play him. I always try to yell at my TV every time it's on second down and say, do not let it get to third and three or less, because they will get a first down almost every single time.
Right.
Because of how good he is. But again, look at their division. You know who's in second place in that division? Miami Dolphins. 3-6.
3-6, and they won a game yesterday.
The Jets are dead in the water.
Yep.
New England, I like the story. We'll get into that here in a little bit with the new show bit that we're going to do. Their division is not good. They are 8-2. They've yet to have a bye. They have a 5-game lead in their division. It's not as impressive as the Chiefs lead in their division, because the Chiefs schedule obviously more than one winning team.
Right.
Buffalo plays Arizona week 1. I'd like to see that game today.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's not how the NFL works.
Did Buffalo lose that game in week 1, or am I mistaken?
No, I believe they won that game this year.
No, I think they won.
Did they win that game in week 1? Okay. I thought maybe they had lost a game early that we weren't expecting them to lose. And Arizona at the beginning of the year was probably a
Arizona
team.
Arizona put up a fight. But then Buffalo came back.
That's right. Yeah, Buffalo came back and won. Yeah, had to come back and win that game. Yeah.
And then our guy, Kyle Brandt, I think he finally used an analogy to describe the Chiefs that I'm okay with.
All right.
I'll let you hear it.
It's my favorite Chiefs team of the Mahomes era. I love these guys. It's a fascinating, fascinating team. 16-point sloppy game. And Peter's right. The take was already there. They were bound to lose eventually. They had Broncos knocked
them off. It's good to lose a game.
Now you got it out of the way.
Got it out of the way.
Now you can get better. And cheers to the Broncos. They're like, nah, I think we'll just block the field goal. Mm-hmm. It's amusing to me because there's something generational about this, where the Chiefs are good for old heads. Hear me out. Like, everything now is packaged in entertainment to be fast, flashy, quick. You have to have an explosion in the first 2 minutes, or a fight scene, or a love scene. We have to keep the young viewers' attention, or they're just going to look at their phone. The Chiefs don't do any of that crap. It's incredible. It's slow. It's not interesting. You don't get the Tyreek Hill bomb. You don't get the crazy Kelce highlight. You're not getting the no-look pass. It's kind of boring. It's kind of clunky. But in the end, it still works. Like, you can't make Jaws right now. You can't make Alien, right? It's too slow. I'm going to look at my phone and my tablet. The Chiefs are this crazy, slow-paced, like, art house movie. It's like Phantom Thread. You know what I mean? It's not Fast and the Furious. They've
the
done
English
those
patient.
It's the English patient, and Ralph Fiennes is just crafting the storyline. And I like that they're not saying, score, 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 score. We play something called defense. We make sneaky plays here to move the chains. We don't blow up the box score. We don't win your fantasy league. We don't show up in all the highlights. We just show up in the win column. It's like a movie that makes no money and no one gives a crap about. But somehow, when the Oscars are there, there's Andy Reid with the Best Picture trophy again. I like it. It's for the old heads. It's not for you kids. They've done versions that are, and it's all candy and sugar and Pop Rocks and all that crap. This is slow. It's a slow burn Chiefs team, and I love it.
Yeah, I love it too. I mean, like they've adjusted over the years,
right.
We're like 8 years away from or removed from Tyreek Hill and all this kind of stuff, right? And we still go back talking about Tyreek Hill, who's blaming his arrest for his injury now. But that's neither here nor there. But I mean, that's what this team is. But that's why this team is so good and why this organization is so good, because they continue to adjust, they continue to change, they continue to do things differently, they adjust to their personnel. They adjust to the way that the game is being played in the NFL, and they're just better at it than everybody else. The Chiefs have now shown the NFL that they can win in so many different ways as an organization in the same era of where they were this high-flying offense. Now they're a defensive-led team, and I have no problem with that at all. I think it's great that they're allowing the defense to go out there, because they always say offense puts butts in the seats and defense wins championships, and this team is going to win its third consecutive championship based on the way that its defense goes out there and plays. And that's why they're so good, because they gave up 14 points this past weekend, right? I mean, like, you start to look at what the amount of points that they gave up, and I know everybody's celebrating the LA Chargers and what they're doing from a defensive standpoint, and they're giving up like 20 points per ball game. Mm-hmm. But look at what the Kansas City Chiefs are doing from a defensive standpoint. They're not letting anybody in the end zone. And if they do, it's once or twice a game, and that's it. This is a defensive-led team that's going to lead them right to the Super Bowl again.
another second half allowing 0 points for your guy, C. Spagnuolo, too.
Exactly.
So, again, like, yeah, the first half, you're like, what is Bo Nix doing? And then the second half, it's like, oh, he's driving. They don't score. It's the whole bend, don't break, right?
Right.
And, you know, that's kind of where the Chiefs are. And, again, offensively, ninth in passing yards. They are first in first down or third down percentage at 52%. They're getting the first down. Kyle Brandt admits that. He's like, they just move the chains. They get it done.
Yep.
They keep time of possession. I think they dominate. What was it, like 15 minutes almost of time of possession in the favor of the Chiefs this past week? They dominate time of possession against Denver.
Right. You'd like a couple more of those drives that you're dominating to finish in some points.
No doubt. Rushing yards, they're 21st. Passing yards, they're 9th. Points scored, they're 11th. So they're flirting with the top 10. Rushing yards, they only allow 83. That's third best. Total yards, they only allow 300 a game. That's third best. And points, they're 5th with 17.9. But they've shut out teams in the second half 3 or more times this year, which is impressive to me.
That is really impressive, man. That's hard to do. Yeah. God.
I mean, it just shows that you are adjusting a half and figuring out what they're doing, and they're not adjusting to you in the second half, which is kind of insanely scary for the Chiefs, which means, hey, you better get out to a massive lead because you ain't scoring in the second half. And we also told you, they're like the San Antonio Spurs, man. They're not exciting. They're not very entertaining. But they've got a couple of stars and Hall of Famers on their team, led by a Hall of Fame coach. And by God, at the end of the day, they win every single NBA game 86-79.
Yeah, you know, the Chiefs just released their trailer for the franchise that's coming out this week, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's Andy Reid walking off the field in this trailer just going, like, with his hands up in the air going, meh. like even he's, like, bewildered based on what happened. And I was reading some stuff that Sean Payton had to say again yesterday. He goes, hey, man, credit them for exploiting a weakness that they found. I mean, like, my God, look at this. They've got a weakness on the offensive line for field goals and PATs, and they exploited it. You know, you got to give credit to the Chiefs for figuring that thing out.
Mac, fire me up some beats. I want to do a little thing here. We call this the Likens Library. So be quiet.
Okay.
This sounds like Green Lady Lounge. I need to get back to that place and get you.
A library coffee shop, got a fire in the back.
That's right.
Yeah, a little fire. I like that. Is it a mechanical fire or is it a real fire?
No, this is real.
No, it's gas, Daddy.
I'm handing you a hot peppermint tea.
Very nice. The peppermint tea is doing wonders.
I was going to say, keep that throat lubed with tea, as we sit in the library. And fellas, this week's library edition is fact or fiction.
Okay.
In the Likens Library this weekend, I want to give you guys some fact or fiction, and it is involving NFL teams. You admit, if they're fact or fiction, I don't have an answer, but you two do. So our first fact or fiction book that we pull out of the library of the Likens Library today is Pittsburgh Steelers. Fact or fiction?
That is a definite fact, Dusty. I actually saw somebody, and I'm trying to figure out who it was, say that they expect, I think it was Kay Adams, actually, they expect the Chiefs to go out, or the Chiefs, the Steelers to go out there and win the Super Bowl.
I love everything she says.
Really? Even that?
If she called me a bag, I'd still be like, yeah, you're
beautiful. That's different. I can understand that.
But not
the Steelers winning the Super Bowl. No, they're legit, man.
They are legit. That's a fact. I agree. They came back from 10 points. Like, Steelers couldn't do that before. They can do that now.
So you're checking out that fact book.
I am.
All right. Fact or fiction, the Cincinnati Bengals.
In what context?
Are they a team? Are they a fiction team? Or are they a fact team that can make it to the playoffs?
They're a fact team that sucks, but they're a fiction team that's good.
Okay.
They're fact. They're making the playoffs.
Houston Texans. Fact or fiction?
They're a fact team. They're going to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to do well in the postseason this year, but they're going to make the playoffs because nobody else is winning that division.
Yeah, I think I agree. I'm going to go more fact.
Nico screwed me this week. I didn't have anybody else to play, and they were like, by the way, he's inactive.
Yeah, they're like, oh, yeah, he's activated.
I was like,
crap. All right, yeah. No, I'm going to go fact. I'm going to go a little more fact than Bob on that. I think this team is improving. I think they're actually built for a decent playoff.
I mean, they blew a huge lead at home at halftime
with great uniforms.
Team that threw five interceptions.
Yeah.
It's hard to overcome five interceptions and win a game that you're down 26-3 in or whatever it was.
You should never be able to wear those jerseys again. Quiet in the back over there. We are in the library. Los Angeles Chargers, fact or fiction? What? Have you seen their defense?
They're a joke book.
Oh. They're a football for dummies?
Yeah. So they are a joke. They are clown show. No, fiction.
You're not in on the Chargers?
I am not. Just not.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I'm just not.
Have you seen Herbert's numbers the last four
games? I don't care.
The coaching staff?
Doesn't matter.
Everybody's bought in?
Yeah, don't care.
Okay.
I'm out. Not a fan. Don't like them. Never will. Screw them.
Okay.
Great uniforms. That's about it.
Be quiet. You're in the library. No yelling.
Rest that throat.
I can't yell.
I know, but it's getting louder. Mag, fact, or fiction?
With that, I'll go fact. Yeah.
Okay. How about those Denver Broncos you just saw last week? Fact or fiction?
They're more of a fact than the Chargers are.
You've got to be kidding me. Sir, be quiet.
But no, they're not going to. Well, they're probably going to go to the playoffs because there's nobody in the AFC worth a damn right now.
Okay.
Fiction. The team's still fake to me. I don't care.
Really?
Yes. Not willing to accept that I was right about Bo Nix, are you?
No.
Okay.
I still don't think you were. Second-string quarterback.
Okay. We move on to the other side of the library. Sir? Sir, please put a coaster down underneath your coffee. This is wood. You need to respect the wood. Shout out Larry David.
Gotta respect the wood.
We go to the NFC side of the library. Philadelphia Eagles, fact or fiction?
They're fact, man.
Oh.
They're fact. They are 7-2 again, and no coach in Eagles history has ever started three straight seasons at 7-2 or better like Nick Sirianni has done. They're absolute fact.
Their coach was kicked out of the library for excessive yelling.
Yeah. And he was almost kicked out of Philadelphia, but they're sitting at 7-2, and they're probably going to win that division.
I think they're the second best team in the conference. I think that's fact.
Okay. Speaking of the same conference, the Washington Commanders, fact
or fiction? A little bit of fiction, I think. Oh. A little bit of fiction.
Don't trust the rookie quarterback?
I do not, no.
Don't trust the coach with the backwards hat?
Well, he did blow a 28-3 lead in the Super Bowl, so it's hard to. I mean, he's got a lot of redeeming to do.
7-0 against teams under 500, 3-0 against teams over 500. I think if that's not fiction, and I don't know
what
it
is. Say that again.
They are 7-0 against teams under 500. They are 0-3.
0-3. You said 3-0. That's
my fault. Yeah. They're 10-0. No, they're 0-3 against teams. Sorry. Got a little excited.
So they beat the Sisters of the Poor, and they get their ass kicked by good teams.
Yeah.
Or 28-27, 1 point, but still you lost.
Getting close to closing time in the library. Before we have to close, we have a few more fact or fiction books to look at. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Fact
fiction.
Or fiction. Okay.
Yeah.
Soft schedule to finish.
Yeah.
Could sneak in.
They could.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're already talking about firing the coach down there and replacing him with Tom Brady.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, there was a fake rumor yesterday about that, which was glorious.
So he'd own the Raiders, but he'd
coach the Buccaneers. Yeah.
I love it.
Guys. Fact or fiction, the Atlanta Falcons.
I think they're fact.
Nah, I'm gonna go fiction. They'll make the playoffs, but that team is
Who else is going to make the playoffs?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
They got to go on a run.
Yeah, they got on a run. They've already lost twice to Atlanta, though. No, I'll go fact, but I don't think they're good. I don't think the Falcons are bad.
This is a double-featured binded book here for fact or fiction.
Is this like a choose-your-own-adventure?
It is.
I love it.
Who do you believe is more fact over fiction, the Arizona Cardinals or the San Francisco 49ers?
49ers based on experience and getting Christian McCaffrey back.
Yeah, I'd have to agree on that.
Wow, so no love in Kyler
Murray. I'm sorry. I love Kyler, but... like Bob said, the experience, the veteran leadership they have, when they're going to come back fully healthy, I wouldn't want to see them.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, I respect your opinions. The library is closed. Now get your ass out of the seats and exit my building.
We are gone.
I can't believe you don't like Arizona. I feel like we got to get you. Like, who do they need to beat? Like, they just
I'll just never like them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their coach is doing pretty well this year, and he was the one that what he had.
Roger Steckline is his name, or something.
That's completely. Yeah,
that's it.
That's
if you gave me $1 million right now, I don't know that I could name the Arizona coach.
And thanks for reading the rundown.
I did, but I can't remember.
And I'm also, I really am.
Doofus von Dooferson.
I am surprised you don't think the Chargers are fact.
I just don't.
I'm surprised by that, too.
I don't buy Harbaugh. I think
that team's bought in, though.
Weird. No, they are. They are bought in, but I saw
you
the playoff
not,
game with the
you
Herbert.
You may not like and, his style, and I'm not a huge fan of it. It's kind of corny and cheesy to me.
Right.
It's today. But people seem to buy it. It worked at Stanford where they were terrible. It's worked in LA where they were just a mess.
Yeah.
And for some reason, go look at before he got there at Michigan. It wasn't
no,
great.
No, it wasn't
and
great. It's like, I know.
You know.
I know they buy in. Again. But you know, maybe part of me is just not wanting to buy into the Chargers and not wanting to buy. Like
I get it. Don't you want some competition?
But I'm also not I'm also not one of those people who like something because I'm told I'm supposed to like it.
Fair.
Either. You know?
No,
how could you not like cauliflower? Because it sucks.
Yeah. Oh, the ones at Third Street Social are good. By the way, you're getting ready to have a Third Street Social in Overland Park.
Oh, we are. Mm-hmm. Where at?
I got to look at it.
By the new ballpark there at 119th and
all? Our buddy Tyler posted on Facebook. They're going to have another one in OP.
Oh,
so
nice.
They're expanding again.
Nice. Yeah. Andy Locke doing great work, man.
Yeah, keep it going, Andy. If you need anybody to like... you know, sponsor your restaurant, let us know. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, the library door is shut, locked, and closed until next Tuesday. Coming up on the other side, a tough side of Tuesdays that we get into here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
All right, let's give away.
Worms had machine guns, then birds wouldn't be scared of them.
Let's give away that Chiefs we're thankful for. If you know who this Chief is, be caller number 6 to 913-586-7965, and you will win a qualifier to get that $500 gift card from Hy-Vee.
Running back stays. One running back stays with Bo Nix. Trotman, that's Javonte Williams as the running back. Trotman is a tight end, flex just outside the right tackle. Chiefs sell out blitz. Nix back to throw, being chased by sacked all the way back at the 36-yard line. And I mean, they made the fire call because all of the fire trucks were coming out of the fire station. It's a loss of 20.
There it is.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5.
Back here on 96.5, The Fan, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey. Damn glad to have you. You can check us out on the YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, however you get your streaming devices to be seen. Fesco, Dusty, put it on your TV while you get ready for your work day. Or just go hack the TV that's in your office and just put it on there. That'd be kind of funny. We pride ourselves as the best-looking radio show here at 96.5, The Fan.
Maybe in the city.
Not a lot of tough competition.
No, there really isn't. Other than Scott Parks,
yeah.
He's a very handsome man.
He kind of looks like Doc from the Seven Dwarfs.
Oh, I can see that a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah,
I can definitely see that.
I'm friends with him on Facebook, and his profile picture is a profile picture, and the glasses are resting on the nose, and it just looks like
I know. Yes.
He's ready to whistle while he works.
Yes, he does.
as are we, as it is Tuesday, which means we get to do our Tough Tuesday. Bob, why don't you lead this off? Your name's first on the list, not as in Tough Tuesdays. I'm just saying as in the rundown.
Maybe, who knows?
No. It'd be me before you, bud.
Let's go with three guys on the list this week. Mm-hmm. I think Doug Peterson is the leader in the clubhouse this week for getting fired before the end of the season. Didn't he kind of allude to that over the weekend or whatever?
You want to hear some audio?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, let's hear what he had to say.
It's
right?
Very short.
Okay.
And I believe the question is in there. It is. Here it is.
What was supposed to happen on the final Mac interception? If he didn't get hit, throw the pick.
I'm not going to go through the details of the play because you guys wouldn't figure it out. But we'll look at the tape tomorrow and we'll make those
correct. What a bag of a comment.
What a douche. I mean, I hate to be that way, but that's a douchey comment right there. I'm not going to go through the plays because you guys wouldn't understand type stuff. That's just weak,
that's like that Brandon Staley foreshadowing, like, I'm calling the defensive plays, okay?
You just don't do something like that.
Bye.
Yeah, take care, buddy. See you later.
Oh, nice knowing you, Doug.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's just...
you got a Super Bowl ring. You got with Kenny and I kick you by.
Yeah, I mean, this is just not something you do when you're the head coach of a football team. So he does. He's the leader in the clubhouse with the odds. He's actually negative money to get fired next in the NFL. I've got Mike McCarthy on the list, shockingly, with the Sun and all that kind of stuff that's going on down
Mike,
there.
Actually.
I
really do. After Micah Parsons' comments, like, that's not fair, dude.
What did Micah Parsons say, though, that was bad?
He's a dead man walking.
He did not say that, though. He said Mike McCarthy can go wherever he wants. I'm more concerned about my players that are at the end of their careers. And everybody took that because I actually listened to the comment this morning again to make sure I didn't miss something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Micah Parsons just said Mike McCarthy can go wherever he wants. I'm more concerned about some of these players that are possibly playing in their last seasons at the end of their contracts.
Yeah, but just next question that. Like, be like, that's not something I'm willing to talk to you guys about. Instead of be like, yeah, you can go wherever you want. So that's basically just saying, like, I don't care about my head coach.
Yeah. Look, I understand what you're saying from that standpoint.
And again, like, I'm not saying that I know how to do media stuff like that. But, like, one, like, that's your head coach. Two, we all know.
Right.
Right? We all know it's coming. His execution day from Jerry Jones will eventually come. And you don't need to be Micah Parsons, who, by the way, played in his first games. It's like week two. And you come out and you could just be like, you know what? Like, because the same thing. Here's the same thing I will say.
Yeah.
If we get mad at coaches for throwing players on the bus, this is essentially a player throwing a coach
sure,
on the bus.
I understand. I get it.
Because he could be like,
Micah
just, he didn't really have it off the edge today. It's like, excuse me?
Yeah.
Like,
see, the way that I interpreted it as, though, I went back to the old college days where coaches would just bounce and go wherever they want and do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Mike McCarthy's going to have a job somewhere doing something. A lot of these players, a coordinator or an advisor or there's to be something.
I was going to say Norv Turner's with the Raiders, so anything
never
possible.
Count anything out, right? But a lot of these players, man, like I'm a players guy, like I'm a union guy, always support the players and whatnot because the owners take all this cash.
I respect the union.
A lot of these guys are done, and then it's over for them, and there's nowhere else to go. There's no their careers are over, and so I get that. Like, there's a finality for players. There's not necessarily a finality for coaches in the NFL. These guys are kind of like cockroaches. But I will say this: when you start to look at the tastiness, if you will, of a job, the Jets job tastes like, you know, like you're licking bad feet. The Dallas Cowboy job is like you're eating
Big foot guy.
I am. But the Dallas job too is, it's Tuesday. The Dallas job is like you're eating toe jam, because this guy has won 12 games in a row for the last 3 years. And he came in on the hot seat. Like, are you giving somebody an opportunity to have success down there? Like, if you're going to take these jobs, the Jets or the Cowboys, you're like, what do I have to do to be successful and not be on the hot seat every year? So, I don't know, man. Like, that Dallas job is going to be very interesting. I hope Deion Sanders gets it, because it's great for our business. But, man.
Somebody called that in July. Either way, here was Micah Parsons' comment.
You know, that's above my pay grade about if Mike is coaching again next year. But, you know, all coaching aside, coaching, you know, Mike can leave and go wherever he wants, but guys, I kind of feel bad for his guys like Zach Martin and guys who might be on their last year or on their way out, you know, because that's what I wanted to hold the trophy for. You know, you want to win games and do great things with those type of legends who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. So those are the kind of guys that I have so much sympathy and hope for.
He did it, and then he didn't, and then he did it. It's above my pay grade to talk about the head coach, but hey, he can go wherever he wants. And by the way, I'm here for these guys who have done way more than he's ever done.
Yeah, that part right there, I'll give you that. That part right there is a little like, okay, maybe a little step the line a little bit, but I do understand what he's saying, man. These players'
contradict
careers are
yourself. It's like, I'm not going to say anything bad about Bob. God, that guy sucks.
Yeah, that guy's terrible, man.
He's got low feet, like sucks toes.
That's right. Yeah. But finally, and Matt Eberflus. Yeah. I mean, you got to make a decision there.
Because
if you don't make a decision sooner or later, you have wasted Caleb Williams.
Yeah, 9 sacks. Some of those could be on Caleb, but they are regressing. They're not progressing. He's done. I'll go quickly here. Antonio Pierce is out in Vegas. It's over. Eberflus, like you said, Doug Peterson, because he's a bag, in his comment yesterday, be like, that you guys wouldn't understand.
Yeah, come on, man.
And then the others are obvious. I think we're done putting, now they're going back and forth with Daboll. Like I said, if it could be, it might be, it could not be, it could be, but it doesn't look good.
I think they'll keep him.
I think they're going to keep Daboll. Yeah. I think they're going to actually try to get him a quarterback, but you start to look at these quarterbacks that are available. I mean, you talk about ass. This is, I mean, the quarterbacks that are coming out right now. I saw one mock draft who mocked Quinn Ewers to the Giants. Do you think that's really giving Brian Daboll somebody to work with? Quinn Ewers?
But he's, I don't know. Mac, who's your top Tuesdays?
Yeah, I mean, it would be the same list as you guys. I think we're down to these few names now. Really, the question is, in what sequence are these guys going to lose their jobs? Because I would say you guys didn't name one person who's not getting fired.
Right.
It's just, is it midseason? Is it after the fact? I mean, to me, if Doug Peterson hasn't already been fired, I guess he's safe for the rest of the year.
Depends on, the thing is about these that I've found out is you have to look at the contracts. Like, if they have to, like, obviously give them, all the money up front. But if it's one of those things where it's so uncomfortable, like, if the Bears get embarrassed again, the players will leave. The players will start talking. Like, you look at the teams that have
the
already
players
fired.
Players are already talking in Chicago about not playing. Like, there was one guy yesterday that said they're not playing for, like, everybody's not playing hard enough and stuff like that.
And that's the thing. Like, and then your future quarterback is starting to just get absolutely waxed. They're going to stick behind him. You look at the firings that have already happened this year. In Dan Quinn, Cam Jordan was, like, leaving the locker room. Derek Carr had to go chase him down.
Right.
And then in New York, it was a disaster. Like, Rodgers is like, Saleh, we're just completely off the entire season last year too, and it's like, all right, just get me out of here.
But Jerry Jones did say he learned not to fire a coach in midseason. He's done that before and he regrets that. So I don't think McCarthy gets fired midseason, but I think he does get fired after the year.
He'll be Red Monday's first name.
Yeah,
like,
probably.
Or Black Monday as they call it. Yeah, it'll be like Mike McCarthy and Dallas decide to split ways. Like, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. Unless Doug Peterson beats him out the door because he's in the Eastern time zone.
Yeah, no kidding. To kind of do a backside of it, so we got a quick little 30 seconds each here.
Best first-year head coaches you like this year so far?
Dan Quinn. That's it for me. Yeah, he's done an unbelievable job in Washington. To take over a franchise that has been in such disarray for the last 20 years, to have a rookie quarterback to be 7-3 or whatever they are right now, he's done a great job there. I really respect Dan Quinn.
Mac, you got a few that you liked in their first year showing their strength?
Yeah, I think Dan Quinn and Harbaugh obviously have done great jobs, but I'm going to take an actual first-year guy. So I'll take Mike McDonald, only 37 years old, and this is a Seahawks team that I had being really bad, and they've been competent. They're vying for a playoff spot in week 10.
Are you putting money on them? I saw their odds to make the playoffs and to win that division are like plus 10,000 or something like that.
They play Arizona in 2 weeks. That's a big game.
That's a good game.
I got Jim Harbaugh on there, Raheem Morris in Atlanta.
Oh, he's doing great. I love Raheem Morris. I thought he got the shaft earlier on in his coaching career. He's a good coach.
He got Kirk Cousins. Their offense is doing what their offense should have done. He's actually using Bijan Robinson. That's
Kirk
amazing.
Cousins has been great, you know.
And he's not even going to be there next year because they're going to have Michael Penix be their starter and Kirk Cousins.
So does Kirk Cousins go to New York and
Dallas.
Play for the Giants?
No, go to Dallas.
Where is Trevor Lawrence going to end up?
Backup somewhere. I think Dan Quinn's on there. And then Mayo. I kind of see the Mayo effect happening in New England. Did you see, what's his face, Drake May's press conference?
Yes.
He walked in clapping saying, how about the defense before we do anything, boys?
No,
how about
I
the defense?
That. That's awesome.
Yes,
that's
wild.
That's an infection.
I was drinking Fireball. I missed that.
He came out. And he's like, how about the defense before we do any question, before we give any credit? Let's give the defense a credit. And like, big smile. Drake May's the starter. They kind of got this like vibe around them. They're just a couple players away from maybe kind of turning that team into somebody who can please compete with the Buffalo Bills in the AFC East. So tough Tuesdays and surprise Tuesdays there here on 96.5 The Fan of Fesco and Dusty. Coming up on the other side, we get back into what we have to ask yourself. Which two teams do you hate more and why? 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plum.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.